You don't learn things like, do birds fly faster if they fart? You'll have to go to Funny You Should Ask, a new book by the QI Elves, the people who bring you QI on the telly. And we have two of the QI Elves on the line. Alex Bell. Hello, Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. And we have Anne Miller as well. How are you doing, Anne?
Hello. I'm good, thanks.
I really enjoyed the book.
Thank you.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how we're going to go through this. Before we go to the various questions, like do birds fly faster if they fart, just a little bit about QI. How long has it gone, the programme?
Nearly 20 years now. It's been going on for a long time. We do one letter a series, and we make one series a year, and we started on Series A,
right.
And now we're writing Series S, and Series R has just gone out on TV.
Okay, and over the years, you've accumulated loads of trivia, I suppose, is the word for it.
Thousands and thousands of nuggets of trivia.
Yeah, and there's been a number of books already. This is the latest one. How do you decide what goes into a book, Anne?
Well, this one, I think, so because QI is all about finding interesting information, we're basically, people always think we'd be great on a pub quiz team, and we're actually not. We don't really know how long certain rivers are. We don't really know who won football in a certain year, but we do know weird stuff.
Right.
So we know that when digestive biscuits were marketed in France, they were sold as, they're English, they're good, which
right.
is like a great bit of information. And we know that there's a Starbucks inside the CIA's headquarters, and they don't write names on the cups. So the QI criteria, it has to be so interesting. You want to turn to the person next to you and say, you will never believe what I've just read. And that's how it is in the office. We're always like, I've just read this amazing fact about unicorns, or you will not believe what I now know about badgers.
Yes.
And that is what our life is like.
Well, I found myself running into the office today to share some of the information from the book with the rest of the team.
That's good. That's what we go for.
So somebody better answer that question, because I've asked it three times now. Do birds fly faster if they fart? Alex.
Well, they don't fart. That's the big thing.
Oh, they don't fart, right. Okay.
So we will never know. I mean, technically, we could assume that in according to the laws of physics, it might, you know, tiny bits speed them up, but
yes.
they don't fart for some reason. And it's a mystery as to why they don't fart.
All right, so
yeah.
that's easy.
There is a theory. They could be doing very, very tiny microscopic farts all the time, so we can't tell, but we don't know. No one knows yet.
Now, Anne, your line isn't the best, so we'll try and get a different line for you, and I'll speak to Alex in the meantime. So, Alex, a few quickies then. What happens if you put super glue on a non-stick frying pan?
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, I love that one. So, well, the pan wins. The pan is more non-stick than the super glue is sticky. Non-stick frying pans are made of this really cool thing called polytetrafluoroethylene or something, which is it's a very long word, as PTFE for short.
Right.
It's also known as Teflon as well. And it repels pretty much everything. So we didn't actually try it. I was quite keen to, but my flatmates weren't keen on me ruining their brand new kitchenware. So.
Okay. And these sort of, you know, regular domestic things that we're all used to in our lives, both of them have interesting histories.
Yeah, so interesting. Superglue was invented by accident, but while I think it was the Americans trying to create material for the war. Teflon was also created during the war. It's everything seems to have been invented for something else.
Yes.
Even like Blue Tack, for example, was originally invented as a wallpaper cleaner, I think.
Right. And one of the things that caught my attention was the story of an actor called Robert, is it Newton?
Yes, Robert Newton, yes.
Yes, yes. And this is him, and we'll talk about him after we hear the clip.
Let their bellies feed on themselves for a while. They blubber enough from years of soft living. Here, lad, you best get some sleep. You needn't. Here.
Arr. And that's why he's in the book, because...
Amazing, yeah.
Why do pirates say arr? And it's his fault.
It's all down to him, yeah. He's an English actor, he's from the West Country, that's his own accent. And he had a penchant for putting the word arr in when he was cast as Long John Silver in the Treasure Island film. And it just caught on so successfully that now every pirate in every film talks like that.
Arr, arr.
Yeah.
Yes. We have Anne back up. How are you doing, Anne?
Hello, hopefully still
that's,
here.
That's a better line completely. This is one that upset us all. It's the moaning grass.
So
tell them what happens when you start mowing your grass at one end of your lawn. What's happening?
Well, it is... It is quite traumatic.
Yes.
So that lovely smell that we all enjoy of a fresh summer's day, that's the grass sending out a distress signal to the other grass to let it know the mower is coming.
It's very upsetting. It's very upsetting.
But it's smart.
Yeah,
because then the grass that smell it know to hunker down and protect their sugars. So
right.
It's a good thing, but also a sad thing.
Yeah. Neil was saying there, we'd be looking back in years to come, can't believe we mowed the lawn. Now, what sort of, barbarous behaviour was that? Okay, and because we have you back, why aren't unicorns called unihorns?
Because that's not a word they had. So the word unicorn comes from the Romans, and it comes from the Latin uni, which was single, and corn was their word for horn. So the word horn came from Germanic tribes. So when unicorns were first, I want to say sighted, but let's say talked about, they had to use corn instead.
So that's unicorn, right.
Yeah.
I'll go back to you, Alex, for this one, seeing as you are a man. Why are dad jokes so bad?
Oh, this is a great one. Well, it's partly, we're not really sure. There are many possible reasons. One of them is that dad jokes tend to be kind of repeated jokes that are said over and over again and kind of make you sigh. That might be partly to help children develop not just their language but also their personality by hearing repeated phrases and intonations and kind of re-experiencing the same sense of humor over and over again, which I think we're all familiar with. But what's a mystery is how dads manage to develop this superpower for terrible humor the moment their children are born.
Is it anything to do with that our children become more discerning?
It could definitely be, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. My godson is 3 years old and he's already tired of his dad's jokes.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a pretty early age to be.
I still get a laugh my eight-year-old out of that. What does a fish say when he swims into a wall?
What does a fish say?
Oh, damn.
Right.
Oh, that's terrible.
But in the book, we found out so dad jokes exist all around the world, and
right.
Apparently the Spanish like classic dad joke is if he sees some soy milk, he says "Hola milk, soy papi," which is "Hi milk, I'm dad."
What about, seeing as we're on foodstuffs, the pineapple and the pizza controversy?
Very controversial topic, but. It's interesting because it wasn't invented in Hawaii or anywhere. It was invented by a Greek Canadian, really weirdly. And it's only called the Hawaiian because it was the brand of pineapple that he put on the first pizza was a brand of tinned pineapple called Hawaiian pineapple. So it had nothing to do with Hawaii at all.
Uh-huh. Do you like pineapple on your pizza, Anne?
I mean, I love it, but I'm aware that is quite controversial.
It is, I think. That's a deal breaker, actually.
No way.
So, still with food, airline food, why does it taste so bland, Anne?
Well, that is actually Alex's favourite question.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
So I will let him answer that.
Go for it, Alex.
It's a mixture of the food having to be prepared down on the ground because you're not allowed to prepare it up in the sky because it's too dangerous. So it's not very fresh. And also, due to the lower pressure up in the air, it affects your taste buds. It dries out your mouth and also changes the way your taste buds senses food and makes the food much more bland. So you have to make the food a lot more tasteful if you're an airline to kind of counterbalance that.
Right. So there's a physiological change when we're up in the air.
Yeah, it's awful. It's not the food's fault.
Yeah, and it happens in space as well. There's a question about what astronauts like to eat in space. And there was one astronaut and he had a shrimp cocktail with every meal, including breakfast, because it was a sort of the tangy taste. It could like cut through the taste buds and he could still enjoy it. So
okay.
He just had it with everything.
Right, finally, before I let you go, the book is Funny You Should Ask from the QI elves, the people who bring you QI on the telly. I'm going to take this word with me and people at home can use it as well over the weekend. You're going to tell us how to use it in a sentence. Bodiaciously.
Oh, yeah. So you want to know what it means?
Yeah, and put it in a sentence for us.
So it means completely.
Okay.
It's hard to put into a sentence because it's from sort of 19th century America. It's kind of Wild West.
So can I not say, it's Friday evening, been working hard all week, I'm bodiaciously tired? No?
Bodiaciously looking forward to the weekend.
And bodiaciously working for the long weekend. Great. Have you got a long weekend in the UK?
No, we don't.
It's
2 days.
We have na 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 na. Thanks very much, Alex Bell and Miller. Thank you. Bye now. Bye. And that book is Funny You Should Ask.